The mission presentation is completed. You've heard all the needs and the request has been made. Please pray for us. And now you're at home and you begin to pray because you want to respond to that cry to pray for them. But now what seems so clear and so simple listening to the missionary now seems to be rather more complicated. I know who to pray for. I know their name because it's staring up at you from the prayer list. But what do I pray and how do I pray? And in that situation, we sometimes resort to what can sometimes be the rather cliched, please bless so-and-so in their work. But I think we need to move a little bit on in our praying from that simple and heartfelt bless to bringing specific requests in prayer. But how can we pray more than this simple request asking for the Lord to bless his work? How do we know what to pray for missionaries as they serve the Lord? Well, the good news is that the first disciples struggled with the whole issue of prayer. So what did they do? They went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Luke 11:1 tells us, Lord, teach us to pray. And very lovingly and very caringly, Jesus taught his disciples to pray in that prayer that we often call the Lord's Prayer. And that is true for us also. And in this well-known prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we can see some essential things that will help us to pray for missionaries. It gives us a model. It gives us examples of how to pray. This past week, as I've been saying, has been the GPM Week of Prayer. And in the recent GPM Herald, as I said, there has been an article on prayer also, which is there to work alongside our Week of Prayer, to help us to keep on praying and to inspire us in prayer. This evening, I want us to look at Scripture that will guide us and enable us to pray further. Our reading was from Colossians 1, but I'd like us just for a moment to turn to Matthew chapter 6, because this provides us with, I think I'm going to say, three topics for praying. Three topics for praying. Matthew 6 and verse 9. 2 points this evening. What should I pray? How should I pray? So what should I pray? Should I simply take this prayer that we have here in front of us, or perhaps you know by heart, and simply repeat the prayer? Well, that does happen in some churches, and it is not a bad thing to be doing at all. Let me point out three things from this that you could be praying. You could be praying for kingdom growth. We're told to pray for God's kingdom to be seen on earth as it is seen in heaven. Verse 9. Your kingdom begins, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then into verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this, God's will is evidenced here on planet earth. And so God is glorified. He is hallowed. He is revered. He is worshipped. Those two things are linked together. How does this occur? Well, it occurs as the gospel bears fruit. Then the Lord's kingdom comes into being on this earth. As men and women, boys and girls, come to know the Savior, they are living kingdom lives. God's kingdom is seen to be coming into their lives. And here is our first prayer point that we can put down as we look at the missionary and that name in front of us. We're called to pray for fruitfulness in the work of mission. Fruitfulness. What encourages missionaries more than anything else? Souls being saved. People becoming Christians. We can see that in prayer letters. In this past week, I've had news from Jean Ellis, and this is what she said. As we came out of the room where we'd been discussing these things, we were met by Klaus and Thomas B., who said he wanted to become a Christian. Mirko, Klaus, and Hannes, and Thomas L., who are leaders, spent some time with Thomas B., and he asked the Lord into his life. Now he also would like to be baptized on the 13th of June. Yesterday they had three baptisms. Praise God for that. So there is the encouragement. There is the joy. And Jean is telling us about it. On the other hand, news from Anthony Green working in Arequipa. Numbers are encouraging at San Pedro, but we long to see conversions. We long to see people saved. And that request can be repeated again and again in Serbia with Slavko and Alison, in Poland with Andrzej and Monica, and on. Like Paul, you see, the request comes. Colossians 4, verse 3 that we read. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Paul isn't simply asking there for an opportunity to preach, but he's actually wanting the opportunity and the fruitfulness that comes in preaching. And we see that even more clearly in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, where Paul says, "The message, pray for us that the message of the Lord might spread rapidly and be honored." Pray for kingdom growth, for fruitfulness. Second thing you've been praying for that comes from this is forgiveness. Matthew 6 and verse 11. "And forgive us our debts," or our sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors," or those who sin against us. Jesus encourages us to pray for our daily walk with the Lord. We need to be in a right relationship with God and with one another. The two are vital. It can't be one or the other. And so the forgiveness of sin will be essential, because we are by nature sinners. Saved sinners, but still sinners. And so we pray for missionaries. And we must pray for their daily walk with the Lord. We want to pray that they might know the Lord's closeness and a deepening relationship with him. In short, that they might grow in Christ. Please never think that missionaries are on some different level from yourself in spirituality. They aren't. They're the same as you. They are still in that work of growing. They still need to grow in Christ. But you see, in the battle of mission, one of the tactics of the evil one is to provoke disputes, fights, divisions, difficulties between the servants of the Lord. Yes. And that can occur so easily on the mission field. There on the mission field, where people from diverse backgrounds, diverse cultures, with great pressures of the work of the gospel, they can come up against each other in difficulty. So to pray for those good relationships between missionaries is vital. They need to know daily forgiveness of sin, not only from the Lord, but also from brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that for them. Are you surprised that I say this? Are you surprised that I come and share something like this? And you're thinking to yourself, well, surely I don't need to pray that for missionaries. Yes, I know I need to pray it for myself, but not for missionaries. Well, try and read Acts chapter 15 sometime. Because in Acts chapter 15, we read that the first two missionaries that were ever sent by a local church fell out with each other. Paul and Barnabas, they had a bus stop and they went their separate ways. The first two missionaries. Therefore, this is a matter for prayer, isn't it? This is a matter to bring before the Lord daily for our missionary brothers and sisters. Fruitfulness, forgiveness. I'm desperately trying to find another F for the third point, and I haven't got to come with one. It's protection. Matthew 6, verse 12. "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us," verse 13, "not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." From sin, forgiveness, protection. From temptation and in temptation. Mission work is tough, and Satan delights in opposing and dividing such work. Spiritual warfare is evident and is to be a matter of prayer. Jesus says, "Pray that you will know strength in the face of temptation." Yes, missionaries are tempted just as we all are. They face the same temptations as we do, as are common to man. So we must pray for them honestly and realistically, as we do for ourselves. Where you are tempted, they will be tempted. Where you struggle in the battle with sin, they will be as well. Again, don't think they're on some greater plane of spirituality. No, they are just the same as you and me. But it could be that they face greater temptation, that they faced a more intense temptation. Perhaps they faced just a greater attack from the evil one. Because you see, if Satan can get the missionary, then that's going to be a large victory, because it is going to be splashed across all kinds of places. Not necessarily in the news, we pray not, but it will be shared in prayer situations. I remember Michael. It's not his name, nor is he a missionary from GPM. Michael, who was on the mission field, he was a single man. He was alone. He was rather vulnerable, and he was not looking out. An attack came upon him from the evil one, but in the guise of another woman. He did not resist, and he had to return home. He could have been a woman, and it had come from a man. It's not an issue of gender here. It's an issue of where his heart was. It was not following the Lord. And Michael had to return to the UK. In fact, he had to run for his life. His ministry in ruins, damage done to the gospel, other missionaries put at risk, a church devastated. Pray for missionaries. Pray for their protection. Pray for their protection that they will resist the evil one. Paul asks for prayer from almost every church that he writes to in the New Testament. You could do a Bible study on this, just going through. He writes to Rome, and he asks for prayer in Romans 15, verse 30. Corinth in 2 Corinthians 1. Ephesus, Ephesians 6. Philippi, Philippians 1. Colossae, Colossians 4. Thessalonica, in both letters, chapter 5 of 1 and chapter 3 of 2. And Paul asked them to pray for him, that he might be delivered, protected from the evil one, that he might have an effective ministry, there would be fruitfulness, that he might have boldness and wisdom in proclaiming Christ. Yes, the Apostle Paul asked for prayer that he might be bold. He didn't naturally have that boldness, that he might have opportunities. And what does this reveal? He's simply sharing that he needs them to pray for him. And what is true of the Apostle Paul is true of all the apostles. So surely if the great and mighty apostles ask church after church after church to pray for them, then it must be God's will that we also pray for missionaries. We pray for those whom God has sent across the world. Listen to these simple words that come from Paul's lips. In Colossians 4 and verse 3, pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We must pray. That's what we must pray. How shall I pray? Secondly, finally. How shall I pray? Bearing all of that in mind, let's get really practical in this. I think we've been pretty practical already, but I want to become even more practical so that you go home tonight and the next time you're praying, you'll think, yes, that's what I want to do. So here are some practical ideas. First of all, be biblical. My parents were Christians. It was an amazing privilege to be born into a Christian household and to have parents who would teach me to pray. And as a young child, I learned to pray, and my prayers were full of the word bless. And my prayer went something like this: bless Mummy and Daddy, Philip and Caroline, that's my brother and sister. I remember it. And it was fine as a child. It was good. But if I still prayed like that, it'd be a concern. Sometimes we don't get beyond these cliches that seem to slip off our tongue. I know that it's always well meant and from the heart, but what does it mean? What are you asking the Lord to do? So rather than reverting to evangelical cliches, let's God's word guide you. Let God's word feed you. Let God's word enable you to pray with spiritual understanding. The challenge, you see, is to let the language of Scripture shape our prayers. The Bible is filled with prayers. And we can learn so much from the shape and priorities of such prayers. Let's do that. Let's go to Colossians 1. Verse 9, we're told that Paul has been praying for them since the day they heard about them. Great, Paul. What are you praying? Second part of verse 9. We continually ask the Lord to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We have not stopped praying for you in this. We keep on praying that you might have knowledge of Christ, that you know Christ. To know his will means to know him, to grow in Christ. And why, Paul? Why should we know Jesus better? Verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. We pray this so that they will live this worthy life, a life that is more like Jesus, a life that is growing in holiness, a life that is having Christ as their heart's desire. And in the second part of verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Here again is this fruitfulness, the fruit of the Spirit being seen in their lives, of good works, of growing in that knowledge. Not a stationary, static, small Christian, but one who is flourishing and growing and developing and going on. And verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Strength, endurance, patience. Don't you need those? I do. Well, think about the missionary. Think about the one who is not surrounded by Christians. The one who is giving all the time. The one who has got to bear the burdens very often of a very small congregation and the disappointments and the heartaches of when the fruitfulness is not evident. When things are tough, when fruit is small, when temptation is acute, the missionary, like us, need this. Pray. Pray in this way for all missionaries, as the Bible feeds your prayers. Be biblical. Be selective. You can't pray for everyone other than a superficial prayer guide way. Yes, you can have a little pithy statement, which we have in the prayer guide. I'm sure many of us use that. You can do that daily, but it is not at any depth, is it? We need to be selective. Choose someone and focus on their work. I'm obviously going to say Hannah Pryor, who you know so well, but there'll be other missionaries that you as a church support. And in no way am I going to be speaking against that and saying, choose one of them. Pray for them. Get their prayer card so you've got a picture of them. You know what they look like. Get their regular prayer letter and keep it in your Bible so that when you open your Bible, you'll remember them and pray for them, including on Sundays. Or form or join a prayer group. You might remember student days when there were a number of missionary prayer groups. I certainly remember that. And I know how that helped me to pray. In fact, that was the first stirrings of the Lord's work in my life in the work of mission, as I prayed for a particular missionary society. And how that helped me to pray, because I heard others praying. And it helped me to pray for all these other missionaries and those who I focused on. Why not write to that missionary? Email back when you get a prayer letter. I was talking to two of our GPM missionaries quite recently, and they were sharing how challenging it was to provide prayer news on four different occasions in the month. And then they said, and this is the thing I really heard, what a difference it is when you get a reply. It makes sending the prayer points worthwhile. I was really struck by that. What a difference it makes when you get a reply. They felt they were sending their prayer points out and no one was listening and no one was reading and no one was praying. Of course they were, but when the replies came back, they knew certainly and surely. Send them birthday cards. Send them Christmas cards so you don't know when their birthday is. This will be an enormous encouragement to them. And you can ask them to you can ask them what you can pray for specifically. Be biblical, be selective, be informed. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Identify with them in their situation. If you are single, you will have insight into the single missionary. If you are married, you're going to be understanding married missionaries. If you are childless, you will understand childless missionaries. If you have children, you will understand those with children. In that way, you can be selective and I really identify in a compassionate, Christ-like way with those on the mission fields. Identify with them and the country where they are serving and the work they are doing. Read all about the country. The GBM handbook, we've got a few at the back there. You have a country profile. It tells you so much about the country. What do you know about Serbia? What do you know about Poland? What do you know about Burkina Faso? You might be able to place it on the map approximately, but how many Christians are there? What is the climate like? What is the political situation? Is it stable? Is it unstable? If we think of Burkina Faso, what is happening with the terrorist groups there? Boko Haram, that is there in Nigeria, in Cameroon, and the conflicts that have occurred in Central African Republic. How close are all of they to Burkina Faso? I'll leave you to find out. This is the great book, Operation Worlds. I've been collecting Operation Worlds. I haven't got the first one. That's probably a collector's item now. I've got the second one, second edition, and then however many there have been since there. And you know what? Operation World has got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now it's about this. I looked like a fisherman there, didn't I? But anyway, it's about that size. Do you know what Operation World is? It is a book that gives you information about every country in the world. It tells you about the political state there. It tells you about the Christians. It tells you about the economics. It tells you about some of the needs. There are lots of statistics in it. If you like statistics, it's fantastic for you. If you don't, remember that statistics... Did someone say to me once that 90% of all statistics are made up on the spot? Something like that, anyway. But it gives you information, and that feeds you as you pray. Did you know that there have been riots in Arequipa recently due to the... opening of a mine. Did you know that? Arequipa is where one of our, two missionary couples are working, particularly talking about Anthony and Roxy, but Ronnie and Rossio as well. I think many of us will have blank looks at that point. It hasn't been on the BBC News or the ITV News or Channel 4 or Channel 5. You know, these things happen in the world and it's very selective what we get on the television and the news. Anthony has had his car vandalized. There was a lot of rioting on the streets, a lot of difficulty for the work of the gospel at that time. You see, this tells us that there is a very selective way in which news is reported. We need to know what is happening with our missionaries. Newspapers and websites are great to get up-to-date information. There are apps you could download onto your mobile or your tablet. Take some work, actually, to start really finding out what is happening on the ground in these places. Are we prepared to do that? Because as we do that, we are fed so that we might be able to pray. We're not fed spiritually, we're fed information, and that helps us to pray. To pray for Anthony and Roxy, Ronnie and Rossio, as they are facing this great industrial unrest there in Arequipa in Peru. Be informed and inform each other When you've found out something, share that with others to pray. Finally, be personal. There's something so personal about the way in which Paul prays, isn't there? And when you come to at the end of the letters that he writes, you have so many different names, don't you? And as you start to write down the names that are mentioned in the New Testament, co-workers, workers in the churches, those who have been an encouragement, as well, sadly, some of those who have not been encouragements, you see that everything is so personal. If we're going to pray in the work of mission, we need to make it personal. And one way of doing that is just thinking about the people we know in life. Do you know a Filipino nurse? Do you know a Polish shop worker? Do you know an African student? Do you know someone from a different nationality, I'm saying? Talk to them. Talk to them. What might they tell you about their country? What might that Filipino nurse tell you about their country? We have seen some of the pictures of the devastation of Typhoon Yolanda and the damage it caused. Did that Filipino nurse have family in that area? How did it affect different parts? We can learn. And as you talk to those who have come to the UK from other countries, you learn so much more about their world. You also make a friend and perhaps have an opportunity to share Christ with them. We had an amusing situation just the other day. We had been up in Dewsbury at the Engage event where we were talking about reaching Asians in the UK. We had Sukesh Babari and Nicola Edkins speaking, and Sukesh was telling us that if you meet an Asian, they'll be very interested in you asking about where they come from and sharing your faith with them. So as we came back quite late, we went to our local kebab van that parks itself every day in the centre of Abingdon. It's actually very good, very nice kebabs. And I was driving, so Julia got out the car to get the chicken kebab, which is delicious with chips. And she got chatting, because there, serving in the van, was a man from an Asian background. So, striking while the iron was hot, while it was in her heart, in her mind, she said, "Oh, where are you from?" And he said he was a Kurd. And Julia said, "Oh, yeah, I know, you know, Kurds are from many countries. Which country are you from?" "Oh, I'm from Iran," he said. And he was so pleased. One wonders if anyone else, certainly not that night, that week, or that year, had actually bothered to ask this man anything about who he was. It didn't lead to gospel opportunity, it didn't lead to gospel conversation. But perhaps we should get more kebabs and then we might have more opportunities. He was pleased. Do we miss those opportunities? Do we miss those occasions to speak with those from different backgrounds, different nationalities, to be able to learn? It might be a gospel opportunity and an time to witness, but it's what you learn that feeds into your praying. Here are some just ideas in this encouragement to pray beyond the week of prayer. Be biblical. Be selective. Be informed. Be personal. Use the scripture to feed and shape your praying. What do I pray? There it is in Colossians 1, verse 9 to the end. What do I pray? There it is in Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. What do I pray? There is the Lord's Prayer. For forgiveness, for protection, for fruitfulness. How are you going to pray? And if the Apostle Paul asks for prayer, then remember this. All are missionaries. And I use all thinking of GBM. And then I want to say then all missionaries desire you to be praying for them. And in praying for them, we not only see their situations and their lives changed, but you know you will be changed as well. So let's commit ourselves to praying for missionaries. Amen.